Hey, you could be listening to next week's episode right now. Subscribers too, but wait, there's more. Get early access every week. They enjoy ad-free episodes, ad-free archives, and they get bonus episodes every month. Just go to Apple Podcasts and enjoy your 7-day free trial now.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I worked for 3 different advertising agencies in my career. 2 were part of large global advertising networks. The 3rd was independent. That shop was a very different experience. There was no holding company lording over the ad agency, no long-distance bureaucracy. That independent ad agency offered a nimbleness conglomerates could never match. As a result, the work ruled the award shows. If you work at an indie shop, you know what I mean. And if you want to know more about what's going on in the world of independent agencies, go to indieagency.news. It's the member-led place where independent advertising agencies gather, meet, and grow. And there's an Indie Agency News show every day at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. Indieagency.news tells you what's happening in the indie agency world. Campaigns and agencies are highlighted. Interviews with owners, leaders, and creative people show indie thinking. One more thing. If you're a marketer, indieagency.news is the place to find your next agency. Become a member. Go to indieagency.news. And long live indies. From the Under the Influence digital box set, this episode is from Season 6, 2017.
You're soaking in it.
Terry O'Reilly. I've always thought the Academy Awards should have a special trophy for small roles. Roles that are so small or confined to one scene that they don't even qualify for a Best Supporting Oscar. But sometimes, those tiny roles steal the film. Like Gene Hackman in Young Frankenstein, or Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction, or Glenn Close in Hook. But my favorite one-scene wonder is in the film Glengarry Glen Ross. The movie had an all-star cast that included Al Pacino, Jack Lemmon, Alan Arkin, Ed Harris, and Kevin Spacey. But the most riveting scene belongs to Alec Baldwin. The movie revolves around a real estate company. There are 4 agents in a gloomy outpost, and they're on a losing streak. So head office sends Alec Baldwin's character, Blake, to shake things up. Blake is the most successful real estate agent in the company. He wears an expensive suit, drives an expensive car, and he's the motivational speaker from hell.
You see this watch?
Yeah.
That watch costs more than your car. I made $970,000 last year. How much you make? You see, pal, that's who I am, and you're nothing.
As the agents squirm in their seats, Blake gives them the ABCs of selling.
A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. Always be closing.
In the movie's most quoted moment, Blake tells the real estate agents that there's a new sales contest this month with an unusual third prize.
Because we're adding a little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize is a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired.
It's an unforgettable scene because of two elements. Alec Baldwin's famous intensity and David Mamet's incredible writing. The movie began as a two-act play and won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama in 1984. Yet the most quoted scene in the movie, the Blake speech, wasn't in the play. When playwright Mamet wanted to turn his play into a movie, the script was too short. So he added material, and one of those additions was this now famous 8-minute sales speech. It's a tour de force from Alec Baldwin, as his character delivers a galvanizing message to the agents that the real estate business may be about moving property, but it's really all about salesmanship. Of real estate marketing is a world unto itself. It has its own rules, it has its own techniques, and it has its own unique breed of salespeople. It's a form of marketing that touches all of us, and it usually involves the biggest purchase of our lives. Real estate marketing has been around since the mid-1800s, and a lot has changed. But one thing hasn't. It's all about selling the dream.
You're under the influence.
When the Industrial Revolution spread across nations in the mid-1800s, the wealth of the world increased. Suddenly, people were moving from the country into cities. They were no longer working farms for sustenance, but were now earning salaries at companies. Banks then opened themselves up to higher risk and began granting loans to common people. Loans begat mortgages. Mortgages allowed home ownership. But the buying and selling of homes wasn't simple. The value of land was variable, and it was very difficult to estimate and forecast. The transaction itself involved paperwork and large sums of money. There were few people to turn to with property experience and wisdom. Into that void stepped something new called the real estate salesman. With cities growing rapidly and a population hungry to own a plot of land, the pickings were easy. That attracted a lot of charlatans to the industry. Hustlers and swindlers who would meet people at train stations as they were arriving in the big city and offer them the opportunity to buy land that often didn't exist or wasn't nearly as described or turned out to be swampland in Florida. These characters became known as land sharks, which threw shade on the term real estate broker. That's when honest real estate agents decided to organize to raise the profile of their industry. They formed boards. They wanted standards and a code of ethics. They encouraged real estate professionals to establish offices to eliminate the problem of drift, which is to say, swindlers who had no fixed address and therefore no accountability. As author Jeffrey Hornstein says in his superbly researched book titled A Nation of Realtors, an office with a sign was a visible manifestation of a broker's credibility. The real estate board decided they needed a way to distinguish themselves from unethical salesmen. They thought, why not adopt a title that would designate their members and signify an endorsement by the board as qualified and responsible? The term they settled on was realtor. The word was an attempt to make the profession more respectable, along the lines of attorney and physician. While some argued that realtor wasn't a real word, the real estate board defended it, saying it was short for real estate operator. It would make Webster's Dictionary just a few years later and would eventually be trademarked. By 1910, the American census listed 126,000 brokers. In Canada, the first real estate board was organized in the growing city of Vancouver in 1888. It would collapse just 3 months later, but was revived in 1919. In other cities, like Winnipeg, boards were established in 1903 for the same reason, to draw a line between ethical brokers and hustlers. By 1922, the first real estate license law was established to set minimum standards of practice. But realtors' greatest innovation was the multiple listing service. By 1925, MLS was being used in over 200 cities. As the middle class emerged, so did the real estate industry. In the post-war years, home economists, architects, urban planners, and housing officials planned, built, and inspected millions of houses. The notion of a home became a symbol of the ideal family unit, upward mobility, and a manifestation of the Canadian and American dream. Real estate boards formed national associations. A career in real estate was now seen as a legitimate profession. In these early years, most realtors were men. As a matter of fact, the board offices were a kind of men's social club with bars, barbershops, smoking rooms, and Turkish baths. But there was no denying that women brought a very special point of view to the profession. A home was really viewed as a woman's domain, and women knew how to find homes for other women. As home ownership blossomed in the 1920s, so did the influx of female brokers. Even though the Depression years would drive them out again, they would come back during the Second World War. When men went to work for the war effort or to fight overseas, women once again streamed into the real estate business. As Hornstein notes, Rosie the Riveter may be well known, but it was Rosie the Realtor that would be the permanent legacy of the war. By 1960, 25% of realtors were women. Today in the USA, 65% of real estate agents are women. In Canada, it's 42%. Real estate has also played an important role in the evolution of the advertising business. The very first radio commercial ever broadcast was for a real estate development. In 1922, radio station WEAF in New York sold four 15-second commercials to a Long Island real estate firm to advertise an apartment complex called Hawthorne Court.
Friends, you owe it to yourself and your family to leave the congested city and enjoy what nature intended you to enjoy. Visit our new apartment homes in Hawthorne Court, Jackson Heights, where you may enjoy community life in a friendly environment.
The very first advertising agency on record was started by a real estate man named Volney Palmer. When his Philadelphia business started to suffer during the Great Panic of 1837, he looked to expand his services in order to keep his real estate business afloat. So he began a coal supply service and advertising agency. It was a strange pairing, but the coal business introduced him to other business people, and Palmer started booking advertising space for them in newspapers. By 1845, he abandoned real estate and the coal business and was opening advertising agencies in Boston and New York, and the advertising agency concept was born. The 120,000 real estate agents in Canada spent approximately $625 million on advertising last year. And the 1.9 million agents in the States spent approximately $13.6 billion. How real estate agents advertise has always been interesting to me. For starters, it's curious that most agents insist on putting their faces on their business cards, on their lawn signs, on billboards, and in newspaper ads. Real estate is a service business, but so are advertising practitioners, doctors, and accountants. But few people would hire an advertising copywriter, a physician, or an accountant based on the way they look on their business cards. Most agents will tell you that it's all about branding. If potential buyers and sellers see your face often enough in the neighborhood, they assume you're successful and will give you a call. Or that a picture is worth a thousand words. So said Confucius, who I may point out was not remembered for his picture. But I have another theory, and I'm going to circle back to the early days of the real estate business. I think it's about trust. In those early days, the industry was rampant with scam artists, con men who didn't want their pictures published, but legitimate brokers did. That accountability meant they weren't fly-by-night operators. I think deep in the DNA of the real estate business springs an ongoing desire to be respected and trusted. In the business of trust, a face is a powerful card to play. It's about integrity. Brokers are often the butt of jokes on that issue to this very day, as seen on The Simpsons when Marge begins working for a real estate company and her boss is explaining what real estate truth is.
Let me show you.
It's awfully small.
I'd say it's awfully cozy.
That's dilapidated.
Rustic.
That house is on fire.
Motivated seller.
Now, not everyone is blessed with an attractive, trustworthy face. Three American universities collaborated on a study recently to ascertain how much physical attractiveness contributed to the success of a real estate agent. They asked 402 people to look at photographs of agents and rate them from 1 to 10 on physical attractiveness. Researchers then compared those results to the MLS data for each of those agents, looking at listing prices versus sales prices. They found that agents who were rated more attractive had listings with higher selling prices and higher commissions. The universities said the study confirmed their theory that physical attractiveness is related to productivity in the workplace and to many of the choices people make. But here was the interesting side note. Less attractive agents had lower selling prices but more listings and more sales, which I interpret to mean they worked harder. Attractive people use their beauty in place of other work skills. Less attractive people simply rolled up their sleeves.
I notice you roll up your sleeves.
What are you insinuating? There is a realtor named Cody Lowry who began advertising his face on a billboard in the town he lives in. Great location, great visibility, great neighborhood. 3 weeks after the billboard was put up, it was covered in graffiti. Someone drew big glasses on Lowry, a big nose, and a silly mustache. So, it was replaced with a new billboard. It was vandalized within a week, this time with big ears, crazy eyes, and horns. This continued over and over again. Then the most interesting thing happened. The cycle of vandalized billboards started to make the real estate agent famous. People looked forward to the fresh graffiti. Everybody knew his name. His business flourished. 14 years later, it's still working for Cody Lowry. As a matter of fact, he was vacationing north of the Arctic Circle recently, and someone across the room recognized him from the billboards. You never know what will work in marketing.
We'll be right back to our show.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're enjoying this episode, why not dip into our archives? Available wherever you download your pods. Go to terryoreilly.ca for a master episode list.
It's interesting that there are so many real estate companies, but very few have powerful branding. Sotheby's uses upscale blue imagery. My impression of Century 21 is based on gold jackets. But the differentiation among firms dissipates pretty quickly after that. One interesting branding story is RE/MAX. It has some of the most recognizable branding in the category, based on their hot air balloon. Many years ago, two franchisees from New Mexico approached RE/MAX with a drawing of a red, white, and blue hot air balloon and said, "This should be our logo." RE/MAX said, "Absolutely not. A balloon has nothing to do with real estate. Hard pass." A year later, these same two franchisees came to a regional conference with an 8mm film of a RE/MAX balloon that had been flown the day before at a hot air balloon festival. They said, "This balloon should be our logo." So the group took a vote, and the result was a unanimous no. A year after that, RE/MAX hired a consultant to gauge how well-known the company was in its hometown of Denver. The survey showed they ranked number 8. Clearly, they were in desperate need of some branding. Then somebody remembered the RE/MAX balloon. So they hired a plane, got some footage of the balloon floating in the sky, and created a TV commercial with it. At the end of the 8-week campaign, the consultant came in with his annual survey and told RE/MAX they were now the number one real estate company in the city. RE/MAX said, "Fabulous." "Wait," the consultant said, "you don't understand. 66% of the people surveyed said RE/MAX has a red, white, and blue balloon, and 36% said your theme is above the crowd." After only 8 weeks, this kind of feedback is unheard of. "This balloon should be your logo." So they took another vote, and the unanimous response was yes. And that's how one of the most recognized logos in the real estate business took flight over 40 years ago. There are some interesting ideas being used to sell houses these days. Some homeowners, for example, have created Airbnb accounts to let qualified home buyers spend a night in their house before making an offer. Then there's sign language. Here's what some realtors put on signs that sold homes recently. You know when you see a real estate sign and it has another small sign that slides into a groove on top or hangs from the bottom, usually saying "reduced price" or "by appointment only"? Well, one recent sign like that said, "Free pizza with purchase of house." It was so successful, RE/MAX purchased the URL rights. Another sign said, "reduced," but under that in smaller type it said, "but not stupid or desperate." Still another had a hanging sign that said, "zombie free." Remember, all of these houses sold quickly. Then there are online classified ads. One said, "see Walmart from your private deck." Enticing. Another ad for what seemed like a very nice brand new home had a headline that said, "For the love of God, would someone buy this house? $415,000. Another classified ad said, "four bedroom, four bath, 4,400 square foot hillside home. Master suite with whirlpool and deck, open floor plan, spectacular room to grow marijuana." Hey, even a grow-up needs real estate services. Then there is YouTube. And some realtors are creating some very high-profile videos to brand themselves. Meet Realtor Josh Altman. He sells the dream.
Who gon' buy this house today? Lambos, Porsches, hot valet. You gon' buy this house today. You, Alto.
I sell the dream.
A real estate company in Australia created an unusual video for a home recently. Shot in black and white, we see a very buff, naked man walking around his beautiful home. He walks out the bedroom, into the gorgeous kitchen, past the stunning living room. He takes a swim in the pool. He drapes a towel over a beautiful, naked woman sleeping on his couch. Then, there is a knock at the door of this magnificent house. The naked man answers the door, and a fully dressed real estate agent is there, who says,
92 Savoy Drive. So private, you can walk around naked.
Then there's ex-minister turned real estate agent Terry Wagoner, who prefers humor to spread his gospel.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Terry with FC Tucker and Ferris Property Group. Listen, can I be honest with you? I want to be able to communicate freely, heart to heart, my heart, your heart. We've known each other now for a certain amount of time, and I want to speak freely, if I may. Your house is a piece of junk. I know it. You know it. People who come over to your house know it. But you don't have to live like that. I have the solution for you. I have the house for you. I'm doing an open house right here, 876 Granada Drive in Greenwood, this Sunday from 1 till 3. This house is going to make you want to punch your own house right in the face.
Then Wagoner sticks the landing.
So come check it out this Sunday from 1 till 3, 876 Granada Drive in Greenwood, and let's sell that dump you live in now. I just want to help. I'm concerned.
It's pretty amusing, and Wagoner's videos are worth watching on YouTube. He's one of the new wave of brokers who are choosing to zig when the rest of the real estate industry zags. There are many nuances in the real estate game. Ever heard of the Ghostbusters ruling in real estate law? It began with a New York legal case back in 1990. The buyer went to court to get out of a purchase agreement because he later found out the house was haunted. The first ruling was not in his favor, so he appealed and won. In New York, as with many other jurisdictions, they follow the buyer beware rule. The onus is on the buyer to get the house inspected for defects. But courts ruled that an inspection would not have discovered the haunting. So, why did the court finally decide the house was haunted? Turns out the seller actually perpetrated the rumor by reporting various spectral occurrences to the local press and to Reader's Digest over the years. Because she had deliberately publicized that her house was haunted, she owed no less a duty to tell the buyer. So whether the house was haunted or not was irrelevant. That the seller believed the house was haunted and had told others about her belief stigmatized the house and affected its value. And that was relevant. And the buyers weren't locals, so they had no way of knowing the history of the house. Therefore, the court determined the house was haunted. It's an interesting ruling. In Canada, the laws on this differ province to province. In Manitoba and Quebec, you do have to disclose if your home was the site of a gruesome homicide, for example. In Ontario, it's buyer beware. But if you have told people it's haunted, you might want to mention that so it doesn't come back to haunt you. As Alec Baldwin's character Blake delicately states in the movie Glengarry Glen Ross, selling real estate demands salesmanship. With 120,000 realtors, there's a lot of competition out there. That's why a big part of a broker's job is to brand oneself. The highest profile brokers attract the most clients. And if you're not Hollywood pretty, you have to work a little harder. selling tools have changed. It takes more than sticking a sign in the ground today. It means utilizing social media, flying drones, and even music videos. There's a truism in marketing that the most valuable piece of real estate in the world is the corner of a customer's mind. And in order to claim that corner, smart real estate firms should be creating memorable branding to give their agents a powerful calling card. It goes without saying that the real estate industry is ripe for disruption. As selling tools change, so do buying options. And it's only a matter of time before real estate websites move from being informational to becoming transactional. Make an offer or buy now buttons can't be far off. Until then, it's brokers and agents and realtors selling the dream when you're under the influence. I'm Terry O'Reilly. Under the Influence was recorded at Pirate Toronto. Series producer Debbie O'Reilly. Sound engineer Keith Oman. Theme music by Ari Posner and Ian Lefevre. Research Tanya Moryusev. Thanks, Tanya. See all the photos from this episode at cbc.ca/underTheInfluence. See you next week.
This episode brought to you by
Ghostbusters.
Our courteous and efficient staff is on call 24 hours a day to serve all your supernatural elimination needs.
Do you wear clothes when you listen to our show? If so, have we got a t-shirt for you? Go to terryoreilly.ca/shop.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.